Welcome to In the Zone and Construction Executives Live, brought to you by U.S. Construction Zone, bringing you strategies for success with construction innovators and changemakers, including In the Zone peer-nominated national award winners. Here's your host, Jeremy Owens.
Hey there, welcome back to Construction Executives Live. I'm your host, Jeremy Owens, owner and founder of U.S. Construction Zone and Three Generations Improvements. As you can tell, I have a little different setup today. I have a guest all the way from Chicago, not Illinois.
Rolling Meadows.
Outside of Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay. And he made a trip out here. We're having a great week together. We're going to go to the Sac State football game on Saturday, Stingers Up. Stingers His up. Son plays for the team, my alma mater. So we're going to have a great week. So thank you so much for being here. It's a little different today, so I'm not going to get into too many updates on U.S. Construction Zone. Just wanted to let you know to stay tuned because we do have a lot of cool things coming. As the last couple of weeks and couple of months, we've talked about our sponsor, Build 12, and he is owner of Build 12. And I wanted to just let you guys know, build12.com/USCZ, and you're going to be able to book a time slot with Les right here. So do that today, and he'll show you a little bit more about the app and how it works. Great. So today we have a great show. It is different. It's live in person. It's different when you're live and you're by yourself, you know, but live and with somebody else, it's not scary, but it's fun. It makes you feel alive. This is what we do, right? So today we're going to be talking about the blocking and tackling of running a construction company. Coming from two coaches, we have a real professional coach and we have a very young, unseasoned coach here. We're going to talk a little bit about our coaching experience and how it's translated into the business world, into construction especially. Obviously, we talk a lot about coaching, you know, the best athletes in the world. You have sons that are really good athletes. They need good coaching. And the reason that I coached when I was a kid, or I wanted to coach, is that I had poor coaching when I was growing up. And I wanted to make sure that my son didn't have those experiences. Because I quit sports because of the coaches. And so I wanted to create that environment. So that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today is how you need a great coach in business life. So we'll talk about that in a second. So I want to talk a little bit about Les's background and then we'll get right into it. He is a serial entrepreneur. I mean, serious business coach, short-term rental expert. One of Les's most notable achievements was leading an HVAC restoration company from its humble beginnings to being recognized as a National Franchise of the Year for two consecutive years. Currently, Les owns and manages a masonry company, North Shore Brickwork, overseeing its operations in under 20 hours a week. Under his leadership, the company achieved an impressive $4 million in revenue in 2022. A testament to his ability to drive success while maintaining an optimal work-life balance. Beyond his professional accomplishments, Les is a youth and high school football coach with a career record of 88 wins and 15 losses. Do you think about the wins more or the losses?
The losses.
I knew it.
The losses.
He has cultivated an excellence on and off the field, and this is my favorite part. However, Les considers his greatest achievement to be his dream project, his loving family. For the past 30 years, he has been blessed with an amazing wife and incredible four boys. So thank you so much, Les, for coming all the way from Illinois to Folsom, California. Please help me welcome Les O'Hara. Les, thanks, man.
Honored to be here.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate it, man. This is new, so let's get into it. Tell us a little bit about your background in construction.
So my father was a former police lieutenant in Chicago.
Okay.
And as I was growing up playing sports, his little roofing company that he moonlighted was always the sponsor of our sports teams.
Yep, so 100%.
Grew up with that. And when I went to college, got married, went into financial planning, and decided I couldn't make enough money to feed my family.
Sure.
So I had to call Dad up and say, hey, I'm coming home to work just for a year in the roofing business, and then I'm heading back out and getting on with our life. That was 30-plus years ago, and so I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
Love it. Grew up in the family roofing business, and from there, once I cracked the code a little bit, I get bored and started all these other companies.
Got it. Yeah, I feel the same way. So tell me a little bit about your athletic career. You took the football pretty early, and then you went to Minnesota, right?
Yeah, so growing up in Chicago, didn't know any better, never took vacations. We're totally a city boy. Okay. So senior year of high school, they moved me to quarterback, never played quarterback since probably youth football, and had an incredible year. We were the city champs in Chicago.
Okay.
And I started getting scholarship offers. I started having some of the best coaches in the world come into my house. Tom Osborne of Nebraska.
Jeez. Yeah. That's legit.
Lou Holtz of, he was at Minnesota.
Okay.
So he offered me a scholarship, and I went and visited Nebraska, which was a farm town, you know, the tallest building was the stadium. So, and then I went to Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and that was like a robust city.
Sure, used to that.
So you know what the city boy chose, right? And just had an incredible time going there. I'm the first one in my family to go to college, get a degree. And I learned so much in Minnesota from this next level of coaching.
Yeah, awesome. So that led to, obviously, family, four boys. We fast-forwarding quite a bit. But then you started coaching. So did you start coaching them when they were little boys and, like, you always knew you wanted to coach, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so you brought up a interesting thing.
Yeah.
The main reason that I wanted to coach my boys at the beginning was I didn't want them to lose their passion for a sport. Like, you quit because you had a bad coach.
Totally.
And the first couple of years, as I was getting involved with youth sports and seeing there's a bunch of Yahoos out here that are coaching.
Incredible amount of Yahoos.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So I just said, every one of my boys, I'm going to coach them in almost every sport.
Sure.
We could.
So, sure.
That began my quest of coaching and then falling in love with, you know, mentoring and, you know, designing.
You know, yeah, it's a strange world, that coaching world. It is kind of a fraternity a little bit. You start to get to know each other. There's camaraderie. You're like, you almost feel like you're playing the sport a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of got rid of some of my competitive juices that I needed to get rid of, right? Exactly. I needed to still have an outlet. For me, it was coaching. So I wasn't getting pissed at the Monopoly game because I was getting pissed out in the field a little bit, you know, so I think a lot of guys do need that outlet. It was important for me, but like you said, it's about kind of customizing your kids' experience and making sure they have a good one. It doesn't necessarily mean you're the best coach in the world. It just means that you have a positive outlook and they're like wanting to play because it's fun. And it is fun.
It is.
Right.
You can make it fun.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I was a really hard coach, but I made it fun too.
Sure.
To have that balance.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. So how do you think that coaching experience, you know, as you started entering the workforce and you had kids, you're like, okay, I need to start kind of figuring out all these businesses you're going to create. How do you think that really translated to the business world for you?
So what I think translated for me was, even though I was raised in athletics, and then went to some of the highest level, got coached by some of the highest level coaching. When I started in business, I didn't have a coach. So I was really flailing.
Sure.
I was making every mistake in the book because I didn't really have a playbook to follow.
Right.
So one thing that really helped me was early in my career, two main milestones. One is, I read the book, The E-Myth, and specifically how to build systems and processes into your business.
Right.
So that's really a playbook.
Sure. Right?
So I got mentored by a coach, Tom Bardeen, from The E-Myth. He's no longer with us, but he's from California.
Okay.
And he taught me the building blocks of how to run a business.
Nice.
So that was... that was definitely the first step. And then the second is, I was now starting to realize there is a formula for running the business that matched up with what I learned in college athletics, okay, which was every practice was detailed mm-hmm. down to the minute.
Oh, yeah.
And what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. So that had to be applied now into the business life.
Okay.
And so once I cracked a couple of those things and started learning the plays, things got a lot easier in running business.
Huh. So did you do that? Do you still do that today? Do you block your time to that level of degree where you're like, you know, these first 2 hours I'm going to be doing this? And with multiple business, I imagine you kind of have to, right?
Yeah, I think that's where I blow away a lot of my friends and people I coach when they see my calendar, because I am not very analytical, and I'm not, what's the word? I'm loose. I'm adaptable. One of my strengths is things change.
You're not rigid.
Not rigid.
Okay.
But you look at my calendar.
It's rigid as hell.
It's rigid because if what you learn from high-level athletics is that they detail every 5 minutes, what are we working on? Mm-hmm. And where are we going after that? And then what are we trying to do? So a lot of my success coaching was building this structure of what are we going to get accomplished today in practice? And I do that in my business world is like, what do I need to get accomplished? It's the big rocks, you know, those two or three things you got to get done. But if you don't schedule them in there, you're never going to get them done. The phone's going to ring. You know, your field superintendent's going to tell you got to get out. You know, there's a problem.
I definitely have that issue. Construction does in general, right?
Where it does.
It's just like you have your plan, you have your to-do list, and then, you know, that call happens and that fire you need to put out. And before you know it, your day is hijacked. And then at the end of the day, you don't feel like you accomplished. Even though you did things, it just felt like busy work. Yeah. And then you're right back to the next day and you're like, shit, my to-do list looks exactly the same as yesterday. And you're like, so yeah, I mean, it's...
Everything just got moved.
Just,
yeah.
And then a year goes by fast. And then your yearly goals, you're like, next year, I'm going to get to those. So how do you book those kind of loftier goals, whether they're yearly goals or whatever? How do you make sure those kind of make it in the calendar so that you're just not, you know, forgetting about that whole thing?
Super great question. I'll tell you on an individual basis and what you should be doing on the business basis. Mm-hmm. So on the individual basis, every day I make it a point to actually put what happened that day. So I have my plan going into the day, but then it changes.
Right.
You had to take a call, you had to do this. And so I edit it. So I have the actuals.
Okay.
So now I'm able to, at the end of the day, see what I was planning on doing versus what actually happened.
Okay.
But it really gets powerful when you use Google Calendar and you can look at the week view. And so I use color codes.
Sure. Me too.
So, yeah. So right now, you know, whatever code you should be doing, you can look real quickly. How much time did you do that? And so when I coach my clients, I want to look at your calendar.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, we're going to find out real quick what's your top priority.
Right.
And if there's things that are sidetracking you, then we have to build some things individually. But now on the business side, what I've learned, great book, I suggest, because we're going to talk about favorite books. I'm only giving you a secret. One is The E-Myth.
Okay.
The other is Rocket Fuel. So
Rocket Fuel. Okay.
Yeah, owners like you and me.
Yeah.
We're visionaries.
Sure.
But we usually need someone that is reining us back and keeping us organized.
Yeah.
So one of the key things that we help our clients install is these things called the level 10 meeting. We call them now the level 12.
Yeah.
So one of the big things there is, what are your 90-day priorities, the big rocks?
Okay.
Those three or five things that is going to move the business.
Okay.
The biggest lever.
Okay.
So if you're doing that on the business level at least once a week, saying, here's what we say is a top priority. Well, it's going to get a little crazy if every week you're meeting with your team and you're never doing those.
Yeah.
So it's going to get done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of said it there, though. You need those people to rein you in. And I've also struggled to find the people to take your visions and put them into action, right?
Yes.
Because, like, one of my favorite things to do is to think of the ideas. Right?
Yeah.
I have the great ideas.
Yeah.
But to be able to have somebody, you know, as your right-hand man, you know, I kind of lost mine in 3G, so I'm flailing a little bit on that side. So I need people to take my ideas into action, and I've struggled with that my entire life.
Sure.
It's just like I have all these places where I have my ideas, but I don't have enough time to implement them. And I really think they're great ideas. But
yeah.
So how do you go about finding them? And I guess, have you found them in all your businesses, or do you struggle with that too?
With a varied amount of success. So it hasn't been probably to the last 4 years that I've really dialed in this process of finding this person. And according to the book, Rocket Fuel, we're the visionaries, we're the idea people. We need the integrators, which is the people that can actually get the ideas executed, but also be the ones that say, this one, hey, wait, you said this was important.
Right.
I'm still trying to get this done.
Right.
We're already, you know, down that line.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is the formula that I found is that there's great people. They might not be in your local market, but they're out there that have business experience, that are very organized, that are the antithesis of us, that would love to work with someone like us and organize us and keep us on track and help us go.
Right.
So all of my businesses, I've always installed this kind of person first. I call them chief of staff.
Okay.
And we're really building a business model around the coaching practice of finding these people, because the biggest thing for us as construction owners, we don't have this person. Everything is coming through us. Now, if you have an office manager, that could be that person.
Right.
If you give them more and more responsibilities.
Right.
But usually it's a unique skill set that is called the integrator. And there's tests and things that we can dial in for you to get that. But every one of my companies, I have that person that is integrating my ideas. So what's interesting, we talked about the West and Idaho and my love for that area.
Sure.
So my masonry company is based in Illinois and Wisconsin. My chief of staff, who runs basically me and the business, she's in Idaho.
Yeah, we don't need to be right next to each other.
You don't. And
so, I mean, it kind of brings up another question I had later was, you know, how do you go about finding those people? You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, you need to be recruiting all the time. You need to be networking. I'm huge in networking, but I'm not always networking for myself. Sometimes I'm just creating a network because when someone asks me, I want to be able to have the person that I vetted already, like you. Like I knew we were going to be fast friends and that things are going to work out. Hey, I have a guy for that. And that's kind of what my network has been, but I rarely kind of has molded my network for me personally. This is what I need. So how do you go about doing that? Because I think it's so easy to, again, to kind of skip that step. But you need to be constantly doing it, right?
Yeah, constantly. But if I even walked it back for a second, I would just say operators like you and me, we need first this person that could handle all of the details for us and get some of the blocking and tackling stuff that needs to be done, but we don't.
Details.
Details, yeah.
It's the details suck.
They suck. Hate the details. Luckily, my wife, she's all into the details, and I'm she handles that for Team O'Hara. But I think that's first. You find that person.
Okay.
Now you're able to grow because you have someone that's, you know, kind of managing and letting you do what you can do. Then you need to, I'm a big believer on always recruiting. You're always out there looking for subcontractors, employees, and prospects.
Yeah.
Those three people you need in our business. Mm. And so how do you do that? Great people in the industry. Matt DeBera has a great recruiting service for construction owners.
Okay.
I think he was on.
Great. A couple of like 6 months ago.
One of my mentors, Paul Sandemann, he was a business coach to contractors.
Okay.
He's got a great recruiting service. A lot of them, they built these models for you to always have a shingle out there for your need of employees on that side.
Gotcha.
And then lastly is just internally finding those subs and good admin type of people.
Right.
That's just you working your network.
Right.
They're
right
out there.
Yeah. And so what do you call those people? I mean, you have a different kind of terms for them. You know, what kind of people are you seeking for those, you know, the detail folks?
So what we're
operations managers, I mean, I'm talking about like the business world. Are those usually like operations type people?
Well, if you and me wanted to get into the specifics for the construction business owner, how I envision it, which is adopting this rocket fuel model, mm-hmm. is that we have the three main components of our business, which is sales and marketing, mm-hmm. production, and then finance admin,
okay.
bookkeeping,
right.
and HR and that right. kind of thing. So for me, I've always been that owner. Mm-hmm. You're on top. But the problem is when you fill these positions or if you don't have them filled, everything passes up to you.
Ah, tell me about it.
So now you're doing all three things.
Right.
So when you add this chief of staff, mm-hmm. but now we're calling it the QBVA.
Okay.
Just to play off of that, because we're now the head coach.
Right.
So we're calling these plays, mm-hmm. but you need the quarterback to run the plays.
Right.
We're used to calling the plays, and then we have to run the play.
Right.
That's hard to do.
Right.
So now you could step back, and you could call the play. They're running it. They're coming back to you and saying, hey, coach, this play isn't running very well.
Right.
And now you can fix the play.
Yeah.
Or you can see it real time. Now that person, they deal with those three main people in your business, whoever's the head of production, head of sales, mm-hmm. Head of bookkeeping, and they're talking and making everything integrated. That's what I think is the winner.
And I think even to add to that, they could tell you when the plan sucks. Like, that place sucks. Like, you need someone to be able to say that to you. Like, don't even try that.
That's the best quarterback you can get.
Right.
It's not that quarterback that comes over and, you know, no, he's in your face
right.
saying, hey, this play isn't working. Quit
right.
calling it.
Right.
That's what you need.
Okay.
But I think you have to teach your people, come back to me. And if you don't think something is right.
Yeah, you have to have that honest working
feedback.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, I mean, I think the other thing that we have very similar is we have a remodeling business that we rely on for our daily needs, our family's needs, and we're both very blessed to have them. Mine's Three Generations Improvements, and yours is
North Shore Brickwork,
which is outside of Chicago. And you guys service Wisconsin as well?
Yep.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that business and what's been your secret. Obviously, you've been able to implement a lot of what we're talking about already into that one, kind of try some things out.
Yeah.
How does that work for you?
So when I owned the roofing business, a longtime subcontractor of ours, he did all of the masonry for the roofing business.
Mm-hmm.
And he retired and thought he saw what I was doing with this, all these roofing companies and
sure.
serial entrepreneurs.
Sure.
I want to sell the business to you. So I bought the business. It was doing about $400,000 at the time.
Okay.
And so today we're doing $4 million. And the secret to that success is, I'd have to say a couple of things. One is branding.
Okay.
That's what I'm real good at.
Okay.
Is if you could speak the message and look like $1 million mm-hmm. before you're $1 million,
mm-hmm.
you're going to grow.
Right.
So
right.
what I've been able to do many times over is look the part. Look like you're the major player.
Right.
And you'll figure out how to get there
yeah.
on the way there. So
sure.
that's a lot of the things that we work on first with clients.
Okay.
How's your branding?
Brand, your message and stuff.
The next key was what's interesting for us construction guys is we use 100% subcontractors. And this blows yeah. away a lot of my clients. They're like, how can you do that? Well, how do you do it is that subcontractors are just mini businesses that you are now helping mentor
right.
and grow. And
sure.
But you're doing the hard work
right.
bringing them the leads,
right.
the jobs.
Right.
They just have to do it and mm-hmm. do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
So where a lot of owners struggle is they don't have the bench depth,
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to use the sports analogy,
sure.
of great subs.
Right.
So they might have one painting
stuff. One crew.
That guy gets busy. Now he's limited on what he
right.
can do.
Right.
So over the years, my strategy was when I'm out in the field, I'm meeting people, I stop at every job site that I could see that they're doing masonry. And I would give my card, and mm-hmm. sometimes it would be the owner.
Right.
He's working on the job. Yeah. This is what he's doing.
Right.
Shaking hands and start that relationship.
Right.
And so now, you know, so many years later in that business, I have such a bench depth of 10 solid owners of masonry companies
right.
that I get a job. I could then go to the perfect sub that I think this would be great. And it's a win-win.
Right. It's funny. We're the same way in three generations. We set it up the exact same. Yeah. And a lot of that has to do with our climate here in California. You know, workers' comp costs are through the roof. Like, to hire is very difficult. Yes. But the roofing industry, siding, windows, decking, you know, they come with a very high insurance cost. And that's not the only reason. It's not like we're hiding from it. It's like you said, we have so many different types of projects. And to say that we have one crew to do hardy board and one crew to do cedar siding or even stonework, like, that's not even fair for them to be a jack of all of those trades.
Yeah.
So we have crews that do better at other things. So when homeowners have that objection, it's like, you know, hey, look, they're licensed, they're insured, they're bonded, you're protected. It's not an employee that had a bad day that's going to quit that day.
Yeah.
You know, so you're more protected as a homeowner this way, but also we're thinking about a crew for your project. And so we're placing you with who we think is going to perform best. And so usually that helps, but you have those other people who are like, hey, we have all the employees we have, which most of the time they're lying, but they say that, like, we have a whole stable, they have this picture of all these people, and maybe it makes a homeowner feel comfortable, but it's really not doing them any good.
Yeah, we have to educate our consumers on that, because they ask, are these employees or subcontractors?
Right.
And we tell that story that some of these are been working with us for 10 years. And,
right.
You know, you have to tell that why that is that advantage.
Right.
But it's a great way to build a business. But I wanted to ask you, don't you feel like it would be important for your business specifically? Because I hear this from a lot of my remodeling clients,
mm-hmm.
that when you have subcontractors, closing out the job sometimes is, you know, there's a little paint touch up and
caulking.
You know, caulking. Do you feel like having a one or a two man, do it all crew
clean up?
Yeah.
I think that could be helpful. I think we've always wanted to have like a true like floating foreman.
Yeah.
That you can send to the jobs at the right time. Right. Make sure they're there in the beginning of the job. You were usually doing that, you know, setting up a job, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
But also to have them check in, like if they need a couple extra panels of siding, someone they can come down and bring it to them. And then in the end, like you said, walking around the job,
close out,
talking about all these things, showing them how the windows operate, all those little tiny things that are very detailed, but also they're like, oh, we missed some caulking there. You guys need to clean up. Here's your magnet. Let's go.
Yeah.
I've always wanted that. I think it would be super helpful.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think that is a good model. Is even if it's a one man crew, one guy,
right?
And he's just your jack at all.
Mm-hmm. Do it, and you can do service.
Service,
yeah. There's a little repair, but you know,
how hard
to take one of your other guys off a job to go do it. I mean, there's always going to be service in remodeling, and it's a pain in the ass. It's part of the business, but it's a losing proposition almost every time, unless you know you can turn it into some leads. Sometimes, like, hey, we got here. You guys got here within a week of that. That's shocking because for most contractors, they're used to picking up the phone, texting multiple times to get them to even answer.
Yeah.
And then multiple times to get them to come. So we usually wow them with that. Like, wow, you guys really got out here quickly.
Yeah.
You know,
that's such a small secret of success.
Yeah.
Just answer the call and get out there and be responsive.
Right.
And you're always going to have the phone ringing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how that works. And I think it's a tendency for contractors, and that's why they're typically not great business owners, is that when they're busy and they see their calendar and they're going like, hey, I'm booked for 3 or 4 months, they stop picking up the phone. They stop answering the phone. They don't even call people back because they see their short term as busy, but they don't think of the long term call.
Yeah. You know? That's a relationship. That's mm-hmm. an email. That's a phone number for mm-hmm. future work.
Right.
Just give a referral out. Hey, right. I'm super busy, but hey, right. here's my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, call him up.
Yeah. It's strange how that is just, it's never really, you hear that a lot from homeowners. Like, hey, I'm glad you picked up the phone. You're like, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry you're not. Sense. Yeah. People aren't picking up the phone for you, but it typically is when we're busy. Yeah. I always notice that. Like, okay. So they're feeling their calendar's busy. And so they're just not going to pick up. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't need yeah. you right now.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's funny. So I'd like to get back, since we kind of talked a little bit about it. So the book thing, I know that you're a big reader. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to find out, besides the E-Myth and the, what was the other one?
The E-Myth and Rocket Fuel.
Rocket Fuel. Is there anything else that you think is a must for us, or, you know,
well,
curious what you
think? I really like, there's a book called 80-20 Marketing mm-hmm. by one of the experts in the industry, and it okay. really would help any of us that are looking to do ads and lead gen,
sure.
which is part of the major thing that you need to solve
right.
for your business. Mm-hmm. That's a super great book. The Sales Machine mm-hmm. Is one that I constantly quote for my clients, and okay. I constantly read it.
Okay.
And the biggest chapter in there is the 80-20 rule. The Dream 100.
Right.
So you asked, like, what has been some of the reasons for the success of these companies? Mm. And what I've always done was this concept of, you know, who are those, if you had 100 of them perfect buyers,
sure.
that you would, your business would be so successful.
Right.
And identify them.
Right.
And put them into a simple CRM and stay in touch with them. It's, it's not rocket science. But if you could just identify
yeah.
them, yeah, you're never going to be without it.
It's so strange, because that's the other thing you hear a lot. I don't know if it's COVID. I don't know if it's people, but it's getting harder to interface with people, right? Whether it is they just don't, you know, they're not themselves. Everyone has a life outside of your remodeling project. Everybody has yeah. stressors. Everybody has things going on. You know, people don't like to pick up the phone. People sometimes don't even like to really talk to you. They're lacking those engaging things. They text.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll text you at night. They don't care about your schedule.
Yeah.
So I have found that it's getting harder to deal with clients, and you have to do more for less. And even a referral, for example, like, it's harder to get a referral. They don't talk to their neighbors like they used to. There's not that, I don't know. So I guess, like, what's your secret there? Because I hear this a lot, that not only is it harder to deal with people, but, you know, they have the power of reviews. They have these other things in their lives that they kind of hold over your head, you know, a little bit. So it's becoming a little bit harder to deal with them. But also, you have to find those clients that you don't want to work with, and you have to stop it right at the beginning.
Right away.
Yeah.
I think that comes with time, is knowing if someone's going to be a problem person. Uh-huh. We pretty much know now,
yeah.
right, when you're talking to someone. Uh-huh. But at the early stage, you don't know that.
No.
And you're like, oh, right. no, I'm optimistic. I'm
sure.
going to turn this one around.
Right.
But the secret, I think, is that there is no secret, meaning you really have to do a lot of the fundamentals of job science, and, you know, that right there.
Right. Sure.
You know, texting, emailing, cold phone calling,
mm-hmm.
email, cold emails, jumping on LinkedIn. It's like, you don't know where this person nowadays yeah. wants to be
right.
communicated. Before
right.
it was just phone.
Uh-huh.
It was like, they didn't even have email when uh-huh. we were going. It was like, okay, you need an estimate, and you talked on the phone and you met in person.
Gosh.
Now they don't want to meet us.
It's so strange. I mean, I tell this story often. I mean, I grew up in the industry. So I remember when I was probably 5 years old, I'd go on sales calls with my dad, and they didn't have cell phones then.
No.
And so we had a freaking map.
yeah.
And I was the map
yeah,
guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, this is where we're going. So the map, but then if something happened, he needed to call somebody. He had a whole thing of quarters, and he had
yeah.
to go find the phone booth.
Yeah.
And it's just like, to think of, that's your upbringing to where we are now, where we have a computer in our pockets, and, you know, the car is basically telling you where to go, or sometimes driving you, whatever. So it's just, it's so hard to see how it was then. But if you grew up in that time, you have more skills to call people. You have, you know, sure. what it looked like to grind.
Yes.
And that grind was a different look. It was like, I'm lost. I'm in the woods. I have a map that doesn't go that far. Like, it is just a, people don't even recognize what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. And, I think it helped us, like you said, to come from that.
Right.
I started in the insurance business, financial planning. What did they do? They gave you a list of numbers and you just dialed.
Right.
You know, that nowadays doesn't apply to owners of construction companies. They don't understand that. But really, if you do that, call property managers up, facility managers, they're not getting barraged by that kind of lead gen.
Yeah.
So it can't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's. I think it's a unique generation we grew up in that to have that. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have technology. And then now we figure out how to adopt. It just kind of gives us, I think, another tool that a lot of new folks don't have.
Yeah.
You know,
that's why you have to use all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. So besides the book, obviously your upbringing in athletics, those were a real good starting point. Obviously you had an internal desire to have businesses, build businesses. That's maybe you're born with that. I'm not sure if that's something that you take out of a book and want to go. I think for the most part, that's inside you. Was there a person to, or mentor, is there somebody in your life that helped get you to that point of realizing you can do that?
Yeah.
You know, who was that for you?
That's a great point. As I was thinking about it, so the roofing business, you know, my dad, being a policeman, didn't really know the technical side of the roofing. He was just a great person and knew how to deal with people.
Sure. You know,
that's what you learn.
Yeah.
So what I learned when I jumped in the business is I was just learning people skills.
Right.
I didn't have the technical business skills.
Sure.
And so, unfortunately, my dad didn't have that either. So I am now trying to run this family roofing business, and I'm a liberal arts major. So I'm not a business guy.
Right, right.
So I'm trying to read Inc. magazine and Crane's Business and figure out business.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily our supplier, Lakefront Supply, his name is Tim Bach, and he became an incredible mentor to me.
Oh, nice.
So he was the general manager. But they were involved with many businesses because their organization was Jesus People USA. And so they were like from the hippie generation.
Okay, sure.
They all lived together, but they all lived together to communally make a difference in the community.
Okay.
So they did all these businesses, so painting, roofing, and then all of a sudden they got into the roofing supply business. And so when we were growing, we were becoming one of the best customers, and I'm flailing and not knowing what to do. And he invited me to a lunch.
Okay.
And that began a relationship that spans even to this day.
Nice.
We just had dinner, me and my wife, with him and his wife, that he took me under his wing and taught me everything he knew about running a roofing business.
Huge.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that blessing of mentoring a business owner is now on my heart, that I get to mentor other owners of construction businesses with everything he's taught me, and you get to pass it on.
That pay it forward thing is huge. I think that is a missing ingredient for a lot of folks that are exiting the industry now, is that they haven't had a chance to really teach us what they've learned, and it's kind of all in their head.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're on a job site, you're like, go learn from him. Stop trying to figure out yourself. He's been doing it for, you know, 40 years.
Yeah.
So they tend to get it. They keep it in their heads. They don't necessarily want to share, you know, you don't really care, but they have so much in them that it's always nice to see people want to share that knowledge. I'm the same way. I'm third generation in this industry. So it's like, I have a lot that is very old school, but a lot that's very new school, and I love talking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's no better feeling to make a difference to someone.
Yeah. You know,
that is really powerful.
Yeah. No. And that it brings another point to mind. Like, so obviously as you're building these businesses, you know, you do want to pay it forward and talk about what you've learned, but is there a legacy component to this? Like, what do you want to leave behind? What is it for you?
Man, it's a powerful question. I wanted to teach the next generation. So I at least wanted to, everything that I've learned, mm-hmm. be able to have my four boys and now their kids to at least have a nice story. I love reading books and it's mm-hmm. autobiographies.
Sure.
For me, it's like, hey, the trials and tribulations of running, yeah. you know, these type of businesses, mm-hmm. what you need to know.
Right.
Because I really feel like such a low barrier of entry and so easy to have success in this business, to take care of your family.
Right.
If you just learn some of the blocking and tackling.
Right.
So why not pass that on mm-hmm. at least to my kids? And that's where I kind of came up with the playbook.
Okay.
Was, hey, the things that I learned, like these key 80-20 things that if sure. you just do these,
right.
you're going to have success in your business.
Yeah. And that's a good point. I mean, like I said before, you have a remodeling business. I have a remodeling business that's provided so well, but it also allows us to think like a contractor. Like you said before, you're in the grind just like everybody else is. So it allows you a unique perspective when you build these other businesses, because you go, that's what I need. So, and I can't find it.
Yeah.
So let's go build it. And so let's talk about a couple of those. The first one is Contractor Huddle. So that's your coaching side.
Yep.
So that's where you're mentoring somebody. That's who you are going to be for me, because I totally need that. So it's like, so what do you do in that, and why did you start that? And kind of how's it going now?
Great question. So I love the story because it started in failure a little bit. So I was doing the coaching of the youth sports, and in our area, there was no sports training facility high end
okay.
in the Northwest suburbs, which was, ridiculous to me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a sports training facility. Mm-hmm. So I went out and went to dads like you and me mm-hmm. and said, hey, we should have this by our area instead
right.
of driving, 30 minutes
sure.
to another area. So, I activated this idea. So we found it took me 2 years, but I raised the money, found a 22,000 square foot facility, indoor turf, the best equipment, speed tracks, baseball, basketball court. Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm going to make it in the sports training business. Forget this construction stuff.
Okay.
That's too hard.
Yeah.
This is going to be easy.
Right? Yeah.
And, did that for 5 years, and it was a great place. My kids loved it. Maybe some of the success.
Sure.
I ended up, they all got scholarships, but yeah. I actually paid for it from this thing.
Yeah.
it didn't make any money. I could not figure out how to make money in that
place.
So, but what I did come out of that was I realized, because I was doing some coaching there,
mm-hmm.
and I loved mentoring this caliber of people. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was special, though. When you're an athlete and you want our motto was chasing greatness,
uh-huh.
you're a different breed when you're going to go and sacrifice and
sure.
do this training that
yeah, no
your
doubt.
Peers aren't going to do.
Right.
So that person, I was like, is there people that are chasing greatness in the construction business? Because, I woke up. What do I got experience in? I'm
right.
running construction companies
right.
and doing that kind of good.
Right.
So it was about 7 years ago. I bought someone's playbook, how to get into the coaching business, and of play-by-play, here's what okay. you do, and I put a Facebook ads out there, and I started getting clients and having success coaching them on what I learned. So I'm like, okay, that's how the Contractor Huddle started. So we have a Facebook group. People could join it. It's on Facebook, the Contractor Huddle. It's a group.
Okay.
We put in good information in there. And then I became a coach to guys that were chasing greatness in
sure.
their construction company.
Right.
So that's what we're doing to this day.
Okay.
And but I think that was going to be your question on Bill 12.
Yeah. I mean, that was going to be the next question for sure is I recently got hooked up with Bill 12. I'm through you. We knew each other first, but when you said, hey, you should check this out. This is such a cool platform for someone like me, smaller business. You're kind of like you described earlier, you're the boss, but Everything flows up there, and you're just constantly getting hit up with tasks that you really don't have time for. And so as I add things to my business, technology is coming at me fast and furious. I'm trying to figure out what can I add that will actually be more efficient. I'm not looking to add just to have the coolest shit, which is such a tendency now. I don't need the newest phone. I've never been that guy. So I don't want to plug it in for that reason. I want to plug it in because it's going to take X amount of hours of my day away, or it's going to make some automation that I don't have possible. And I think the automation component of Build 12 is really where it can blow your mind.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about it.
So back to our talk about when we first started in the business, what I brought from that insurance experience was these multi-billion dollar insurance companies, they were using technology from the start.
Right.
So they had databases where you knew everything about this person and you could call them. So when I got into the roofing business, no one was doing this, but I was one of the first early adopters of having a CRM and plugging every customer in there and doing proposals out of that.
Right.
And that probably led to our rocket ship of success right away because of that organizational component. Mm-hmm. When everyone was doing handwritten and
folders,
we had it online.
Okay.
So now, 25 years, 30 years of running these businesses, what I realized, I was always chasing that shiny ball syndrome too, that you and the visionaries can have.
Yeah.
This idea, I'm going to go do this. Mm-hmm. This does this. This does this. So all these years of trying and then now coaching people on what's the best tech stacks, I've been exposed to all of these great companies and what they use. Mm-hmm. And so in my journey, it was one of my clients that had access to this software platform that I said, wow, this is really great.
Right.
And I started playing around with it. And I realized you can customize it for guys like us that are owners to really kill it in the construction space. Mm-hmm. So Build 12 is a software that's customized by contractors for you to save you time on doing all of these things that will take someone, you specifically, you know, hours and hours to do and now can be automated where it's being done by itself.
Right.
Without you really having to do it.
Right. I mean, the fact that you can put leads in these categories, you know, texting for me has always been a huge issue. I've always wanted to get into this space. I just didn't want to use my own phone and get blown up at all hours. I already get enough of that already. So having that text option, being able to put leads in categories and let some automations take over for you, again, saves me time and energy. Like, you guys got to check it out. Build12.com/USCZ. Get a demo from him and you guys just take a look at it. I'm still in the learning process and he's going to help me through kind of how to get there. But the bottom line is make sure that your technology is actually making you more efficient. And it's not just the newest, shiniest thing. It has to be something that will work for you. And you know, I'm looking forward to it kind of, you know, really speeding up my business a little bit and helping replace some of my time because that's my biggest issue right now.
Yeah. Time and it's going to make you more money.
Yeah.
It's proven. It's adopted for all of my businesses. Mm-hmm. And it truly, when I'm low on work, I could just go in there, press a couple buttons, and I'm getting opportunities to go out and, you know, estimate.
So that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being more organized.
No doubt about it. Well, I wanted to talk a couple more about, you know, the personal side. You know, I always like this side of our industry. I think we fail a lot as owners and managers to be open about we have real lives. You know, we talk about our coaching experiences, but we have kids, we have families, we all have struggles. There's always things that are going on in life, but to be talking about and talking to other employees about their lives. And, you know, you need to know that they have kids and they play baseball and we struggle with like opening up and being vulnerable and all those things that you really need to be a successful, I think, person, but also helps your business as well. And I think growing up as third generation, back when my grandpa was working in the 50s, you don't talk about their lives. It's always head down, work hard, shut up. And that's kind of what they were used to, right?
Yes.
You know, but yes, as we've gotten a little bit older and wiser, it's not the best approach when trying to deal with people.
Yeah, people, and let's even talk about your immediate family.
Right.
So we're taught to be that tough, you know, we're the owner.
Yeah.
You know, but the best thing is to, if you want to teach the next generation, be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So to me, I've really had to work on sharing the frustrations and the weaknesses that I have and the failures, and letting them all see that has made it so much richer I don't have to be this tough guy that's successful all the time. They have been around with all the failures and they're learning from them.
Right.
You know, you can have a losing season
and
learn a lot from it and come back. And so you have to lose a little bit in life. And I think the best thing that you can do is acknowledge the failure, try to learn from it. What did you learn? Mm-hmm. My problem is I very rarely am remembering what I've learned on the failure.
Right.
You know, not repeating those mistakes. That's where you need a coach or a mentor saying, hey, oh, by the way, you're doing this again. My wife kind of plays that role for me because no one knows you better than
her. Right.
But being vulnerable to your wife, your kids, and your employees,
right?
That's the next step. It's really tough to do, but it really opens you up to have a lot more success.
Yeah, and I think the coaching thing, you know, it's such an important component because, like you said, it's a low barrier of entry. Our industry is unlike any other, right? We didn't even need a degree, you know?
Yeah.
We won't get into that, but, you know, you enter this business. Usually, you know, if it's not your family's, you got it from a friend or you're working with a friend, before you know it, you have this business in front of you and you know jack shit. Like, I went to business school in marketing, which is a perfect fit for me. I haven't plugged in anything I've learned there. So it's just a wild industry. And unless you are feeding your brain and figuring things out as you go, you won't figure it out and you will be failing constantly. This is the thing I see the most with contractors is that knowing your numbers, they don't know their numbers. They just go year to year and they don't even know if they made money on a job. Right. You know, it's like, so you don't know your margins. You don't know your numbers. You're making a living, but at the end, you don't have anything to show for it. Not only as a business, but for your family, for your legacy, you're kind of just like, I guess I'm done. Here are the keys.
Yeah.
I don't know what, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so talk a little bit about that. I mean, that not only the knowing the numbers, but the legacy piece and making sure that you're constantly learning as you go.
Yeah, what I find is that you can go out of business so fast in the construction business.
Right.
You know, you think you're growing and things are great, but people don't realize that the faster you grow, you're burning all this cash. And you get a little bit of a stick with the accounts receivable and then you're out of business. So really the first thing that we work with, other than the personal time management, now we dig into your numbers and specifically cash flow forecasting. I think that's such an underrated topic for owners of construction companies. Barring, you know, knowing how to structure your profit and loss and balance sheet and being able to look at that, which is big. But the second is knowing how much money you have and where it's going, you know, in the next 12 weeks.
Right.
So it took me years and years of working with CPAs and consultants and making, you know, 16 tab, you know, spreadsheets and all this to finally, you know, coming up with one that was dialed in to tell me and my clients, here's what you have right now. And here's what's going to be happening the next 12 weeks.
Right.
So that you can figure out, okay, we got some trouble over here in about 4 weeks from now if something doesn't happen. And it gives you time to start working on this line of credit
or,
you know, loans from friends
or
whatever. But truly knowing your numbers and where the cash is, you know, live and die. You got to live and die by that.
Yeah, I think that's a struggle. I would say that would be my advice as well. If you're a new business owner, is take some classes or get a mentor or learn from somebody so that you stop those mistakes at the beginning. And then you start to learn, hey, here's my real margin. Here's my break-even point. Like, I mean, I think probably 20% margin. If you're under there for a remodeling company, you're probably breaking even-ish. Right. Like, especially in California with our insurance costs and things, like people costs. There's a lot of costs. Like I tell homeowners this all the time. There's a cost just to getting here, just to being on your job. So there's a bunch of cash right here. So just understanding those numbers and all that. So looks like we're running a little bit short of time here. So I wanted to leave with, you know, a little bit about talking about your family. You always mention that in all of your businesses, you have something that you talk about. And one of those is, you know, that piece that you talk about, you know, your lifetime goal of honoring God and becoming a football coach, you know, full time. So how are you doing on those last two components of your life?
Well, I hope that I'm honoring God. I try my best to, what he's instilled in me was this concept of, and I saw it at a great men's event many, many years ago, was I wanted to change the world, but I realized that if you just change one person's life and their legacy, you've done an incredible job in life. So for me, it's been really simple. Just make a difference to one person. Mm-hmm. And then that gets into the family component is like, hey, if you can't get your family dialed in, then everything else after that is not going to
work.
You really got to work hard. And that's where coaching my kids and being involved with them, even though I was head down all business for a lot of the early years, because that's what it takes.
Right.
But I complemented that with being it. I never missed a game.
Right.
And if I wasn't coaching or they were on a different team, I was there at the game.
Right.
Me and Julie did a great job of that.
Yeah.
But it just resonated with me that Denzel Washington said his ultimate dream project was his four kids and his wife.
Yeah.
And to me, you know,
perfectly said.
That's what you need. That's, I have that up on my, in my office.
Right.
To just remind me at the end of the day, you know, it just got to try your hardest to get that right.
And that's ultimately who we're working for. We're working for our loved ones. I think there's a component, this money component that tends to cloud everything. But obviously you want to make a living for your family, but ultimately that you want to make your family proud. And then you have that legacy and that thing when you're done. They see that you've made your mark in the industry. They've seen that you busted your ass, which my kids see me do.
Yes.
They've seen modeling of what that looks like. They've seen you open and close businesses. They've seen you fail.
Yeah.
All of those things, but you're out there and you're grinding, and it's a great industry. And I just appreciate you being here and giving us all your insight. It's been a great time, and we're gonna continue having a good time with the Sac State football game.
Love it.
Stingers up.
Go Stingers.
All right, man. See you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thanks again, guys, for being here. Another great episode. Next month, we're going to get into even more of the time management piece, which I think we all struggle with. So thanks again for being here on Construction Executives Live. I'm your host, Jeremy Owens. Thank you so much. Bye.
You've been listening to In the Zone and Construction Executives Live with Jeremy Owens. Be sure to subscribe to In the Zone and stay in the know with the best minds in the construction industry. To nominate an innovator or change maker in the construction industry, connect with your management peers, and stay up to date with construction industry news, be sure to visit usconstructionzone.com.